Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So Hare Krishna, everyone.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for coming this evening. Thank you to Desmond and Varsha for having us all. And we are going to read a verse this evening from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And then we are actually then going to read, sort of as a purport, you could say, from Srila Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada's description, Prabhupada and Srila Rupa Goswami, their description of this month of Kartik, which we are in right now, sort of right in the middle, or the second half of Kartik. So, actually I'll read two verses from Bhagavad Gita to start off with. Bhagavad Gita, as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 9, The Most Confidential Knowledge. And we will read verses 13 and 14. Mahatma nastumam parta, daivim prakritim ashrita, vajanchyananya manaso, gyatva bhutadim avyayam. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They're fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. So we could just mention a word or two there, that this verse is, it begins with the word Mahatma. Mahatmana. Mahatmanas. Mahatma, we're all familiar with this term, Mahatma, of course. What it means is a great soul or someone who is spiritually developed, spiritually advanced. So this verse and the next verse, which we'll read in a minute, they are describing the characteristics of the Mahatmas, of those who really are spiritually advanced. And first thing, Krishna says, they're under the protection of the divine nature. It means in many ways their lives are protected. If one really takes shelter of the divine nature, or in other words, what that means is, if one really engages fully in Krishna consciousness, means maintaining the standards and so on, even though of course initially it may be a bit of a challenge, or some parts may be challenges, but if one perseveres a little and really makes a bit of an effort and gets into it, then as Krishna says here, one feels that one is protected, under the protection of the divine nature, spiritual nature. Protected means even just in physically dangerous situations, but particularly in spiritual ways, one is protected, means that You may have noticed, you may possibly have noticed, that in day-to-day life, your mind may sometimes become distracted from your spiritual focus, may become distracted towards some ordinary material things, even sometimes some silly material things, you know, some Bollywood or something like that, and the mind becomes attracted, and so on and so forth. There's so many things that the mind can become attracted to. But in this sense, Krishna is saying that those who are spiritually advanced, they're protected by the divine nature. So a very important part of that is that when one's fully engaged, nicely engaged in Krishna consciousness, then one's mind is protected from things like that, wandering off into to things which we know are spiritually just not desirable. The mind becomes protected. One of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers went to England in the 1930s and met one man. He was a member of the British nobility, the Marquess of Zetland. He had been in India, he knew something about Indian culture. So he asked the devotee, "How can I become a real Brahmin?" It means like a pure person, a very spiritual person. And the devotee said, "Well, just give up eating meat, fish, eggs, and so on. Give up intoxication and, you know, illicit sex life, gambling, and you can become a Brahmin easily." And the man was shocked. "Give those things up? How? It's not possible." And he said, "I would rather die." So some people, they wonder, how do the devotees stop doing these things? How can they manage it? But the point is, Krishna's explaining here, the devotees are protected. The more we engage in Krishna's service, the more we become protected in every way. Just like, you know, the other day, what was it? Friday. It was Govardhan Puja, day after Diwali, and great storm came. Krishna lifted the hill, Govardhan Hill, and held it there, and the people came underneath, and they were protected. But before they came underneath, they were exposed. They were outside, and they were just getting hammered by this drastic storm. But then they came under the protection of the hill. So it works like that. It actually works like that. It's very nice. Let's read the next verse. Satatam kirti yanto mam yatantascha dridhavrata namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. This verse now is describing some of their characteristics, or like their program, what they do, how they conduct their lives. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me. These mahatmas, these great souls, perpetually worship me with devotion. So in the Sanskrit, the term is, Krishna says, yatantascha dridha vrata, which Prabhupada has translated as endeavoring with great determination. Vrata, literally, vrata means vow, some particular decision one has made to do something, or maybe not do something. a vow, a real, like the sense of firm determination. So Krishna's saying that these Mahatmas, people who are spiritually advanced, they're like that. They're always chanting the glories of the Lord, and they are endeavoring, they take vows, they have real determination, and they're able to carry out those things because they're protected by the spiritual nature. So this is the month of Kartik, as I think most or perhaps all of you are aware. And in this month of Kartik, it is the practice of the devotees to make some extra effort, and you could say even to take some particular type of vow. So, and we still have, I don't know, some days left. What, a week or so? Something plus or minus? A week left. So, it is not too late. If you so far have just been carrying on as usual, now there's still a week or something like that where you could try, you know, think of something spiritual you could do for the coming week or so, something special, you know, not that you have to turn your life upside down, but something in addition to what you may normally be doing. For example, just as an example, if you are perhaps, if you're chanting every day, I know some of you are, so maybe you're chanting 5 rounds, maybe you're chanting 10, or some number, whatever it may be, then perhaps you could increase by 1, or 2, or something like this. So, you know, not something superhuman, but still something a little extra. Yeah, a little extra. As a special vow, because we call this Kartik Vrata, a vow for this month. So there's still a week left. Anyway, you can think about that yourselves in terms of your own situations. But let's have a look here. I'm going to read in this regard from Nectar of Devotion, chapter 12, Further Aspects of Transcendental Service. And this section is called Performing Devotional Service in Kartik. Prabhupada says, one of the most important ceremonial functions is called Urja Vrata or Kartik Vrata. This Vrata is observed in the month of Kartik, October, November. Especially in Vrindavan, there is a specific program for temple worship of the Lord in his Damodar form. See, right here. Here we are. He is there. Damodar refers to Krishna's being bound with rope by his mother, Yashoda. It's happening right there in front of us. It is said that just as Lord Damodar is very dear to his devotees, so the month known as Damodar or Kartik is also very dear to them. The execution of devotional service during Urja Vrata in the month of Kartik is especially recommended to be performed at Mathura. This system is still followed by many devotees. They go to Mathura or Vrindavan and stay there during the month of Kartik, specifically to perform devotional services during this period. In the Padma Purana, one of the great Vedic literatures, it is said, The Lord may offer liberation or material happiness to a devotee, but after some devotional service has been executed, particularly in Mathura during the month of Kartik, the devotees want only to attain pure devotional service unto the Lord. Unquote. And Prabhupada continues, the purport is that the Lord does not award devotional service to ordinary people who are not serious about it, but even such unserious people who execute devotional service according to the regulative principles during the month of Kartik and within the jurisdiction of Mathura in India are very easily awarded the Lord's personal service. This is interesting. So this month of Kartik is special. And of course Prabhupada said on a few occasions that it can be performed in Vrindavan or Mathura, which they're very close to each other. But when you have a nice altar in your house, like here in Desmond and Varsha's house, then Krishna is there, then your house becomes Vrindavan. Because it is said about Krishna, Vrindavanam parityaja ekapadam na gacchati, that Krishna does not take one ekapadam, one step outside Vrindavan. So wherever Krishna is, you must know Vrindavan is there. So your house can become Vrindavan when you have a nice altar, nice pictures of the Lord, and you engage in these activities. Sure. So let's say a few words about this. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachayane Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Paskitya Deshitarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasti Gauravakarinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchikalpa Churibhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Maditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Okay, so this is the month of Kartik. There's still 1 week or something along those lines left. It's not too late. Srila Prabhupada elsewhere, listen to this, it's very important. Elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that sometimes a shopkeeper, businessman, shop owner, well, he's selling his goods, whatever it is, but sometimes he decides to have a sale. Sometimes he decides to have a sale. And so he does. And then you, the customer, you can walk in and get the same products, but now you can get them much cheaper because it's a sale. And of course, there is no law. There is no law that the shops at a certain time, they must have a sale. It's just up to the businessman. It's just up to the businessman if he wants to have a sale or not. And if he wants, he can have a sale for as long as he likes or as short as he likes, and that's just totally up to him. And then people get the same things, but for less. So Prabhupada made the point that Kartik, This month means Krishna is having a sale. Krishna is having a sale. And, Krishna's sort of commodity, his product, his goods. That is his mercy, his great mercy. So in the month of Kartik, Krishna is giving his mercy much more liberally, much more. And that's up to him. He can do it as he likes. There is no law that he has to. It is his choice, and he does it. And even, you know, when people have a sale, a shop has a sale, you may get 10% off, 20%, maybe sometimes 50, but that's unusual. But would you believe, you see, Krishna, you know, Krishna does not mess around. He does not play. Oh no. When Krishna has a sale in Kartik, then the mercy is 1,000 times more readily available. 1,000. Not just half price, quarter price, or something like that, but 1,000. So you do a little service to Krishna, you chant his names, you do an arti, you offer a lamp, as we're all going to do shortly, to Krishna. Or you offer your food to Krishna, or something. Maybe you tell some person something from Bhagavad Gita to help them become a little Krishna conscious. So any effort that you make during the month of Kartik, you get 1,000 times the benefit. Yes. So therefore, as we read, as Srila Prabhupada said, in this month, devotees generally increase. They do some extra thing to really make the most of it. You know, Jewish people have a sort of a reputation for being very concerned about their money. You've all heard that, right? They say Gujarati people too, but anyway. None of you are Gujaratis. It's okay. It's all right. It's not bad. It's good. But Scottish people... Hare Krishna. So you may not know so much about Scottish people. But my family, going back to my great-grandparents, they were Scottish. And Scottish people, all you got to do is put the sign in the window of the shop, sale. And they'll all be there. Because they all want a bargain. And when there's a bargain, you know, normally they might buy one. But when there's a sale, when there's a bargain, they'll buy two. And they'll buy some other things. They'll buy all sorts of things when there's a sale. So in other words, the devotees, they try to make the most of it. Instead of just chanting, you know, the devotees who are really committed, devotees who are initiated, and devotees who are really trying to practice very seriously, they chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day. I think many of you understand what that means. But in the month of Kartik, they will, in many, many cases, increase that to make the most of it. You know, you're getting extra benefit from your 16 rounds, but why not get even more extra benefit? So therefore I mentioned right at the beginning there, all of you, you're all nice people, you're all religiously minded to some degree, and have some interest in these things. Very good. Very good. So why not? There's only 1 week left. It's not a big thing. Why not now just think, okay, what could I do extra Krishna conscious activity? And maybe, you know, turn the lamp every night at home, for example. Or if you're not chanting at all, but if you have some chanting beads at home, maybe chant one round a day. Something which you're not doing currently. But at least for the next week, try and do like that. And get some special mercy, extra mercy. And the thing is that at the end of the month, you will feel the difference. You will feel the difference. I remember when I started chanting many years ago, almost in January, it'll be 42 years ago. So, you know, I'd never done these things before at all. Well, not very much. I'd done a little meditation, bit of yoga, but nothing serious. And the devotees gave me some beads when I visited the temple in London and said, yes, you know, chant. So I chanted, and I found it very difficult. My mind wanted to go this way, that way, any other way. But I persevered, and it didn't take long. And I was chanting 16 rounds, and it was the effect it had was amazing. Completely amazing. My uncontrolled and uncontrollable mind, whew, it became very focused. Very quickly. I couldn't believe it, frankly. And then I realized that, really, this actually works. It's not just, you know, believe in something. Just believe in something and, you know, well, you don't know. You just believe it and hope for the best. And you don't know. And you only find out if it was right or not when you die. And if it wasn't the right thing, then it's too late. Sorry. This is something practical. This is something practical which anyone can get experience from. But we're just going to make a little effort. Not a big effort. You don't need to turn your life upside down. But some little effort. After all, if something, you know, if something is worth doing, like getting a university degree, getting matric, you got to make an effort, of course. Developing a business. You don't just go to the office and sleep for a couple of hours, then go and make a cup of tea, then go and get a pizza at the shop next door, and then come back and, you know, see if anyone left any messages on your phone. No, you got to make an effort for anything. To raise a family. Ooh, Hare Krishna. You got to make an effort, or even a couple of efforts. Yeah. You know, I don't have one myself, but I have witnessed. Yes. So this is the point here. This is the point. Make a little effort. And then after, you know, like the month, or in this case a week or so, we make a bit of a special effort. Then you see, you feel, oh, I've changed. And it can be a stepping stone for like a more long-term commitment and focus. Because now you've got a little extra experience. So this is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is very practical. is it is not just a belief system. You know, many people convert from Hinduism to Christianity. Many people convert from Christianity, well, normally from Christianity into nothing, actually. They just give up any type of religion and just don't bother with it. And people convert from Islam into other things, of course, you know, they may be risking their lives. That's another story. We won't go down that road. But still it happens. And you know, you get so many Muslims who are not Muslims. They have converted. But on the surface they're still carrying on. But they've actually changed. You know? They're not interested. Yeah. So why? Why are these people doing this? It is because they have been doing something, whatever it may have been. You know, if they were Hindus, Tamils, Telugus, they may have been doing whatever, porridge prayers, or whatever it is, something. They may have been doing something. But then what happened? What happened was it didn't work. It didn't work. They were doing it. And sometimes doing it for years. And it's just not working. And they reach a point and then they just think, now wait a minute. Why am I bothering with this? And this is what happens. This is what happens to Hindus who convert. This is what happens to Christians who convert. This is what happens to Muslims who convert. This is what happens. That people become dissatisfied because it's not working. And why is it not working? Why is it not working? Because, very important point, because they're not doing it properly. Therefore, it's not working. If you do something the wrong way, don't be surprised if it doesn't work. Yeah. You know, if you want to drive to Johannesburg and you take the road to Port Elizabeth, don't be surprised if you don't go to Johannesburg. Because you're doing it the wrong way. You're doing it the wrong way. You try to eat. Prabhupada, our spiritual master, he gave an example that one day the hand which normally puts food in the mouth, the hand thought to itself, wait a minute, I'm putting food in the mouth all the time. I never get any myself. And the hand became disturbed. I want to get some of the food myself. I'm not going to keep putting it in the mouth. I'm going to eat the food myself. So the hand started, you know, some alu bini. And squeezing it, trying to squeeze it in under the fingernails or somehow into the pores of the skin, trying to squeeze in the food. I am going to get the enjoyment myself. But what happened? After, you know, maybe half a day or after one day, the hand was not feeling so good. Feeling, you know, lacking some energy. After a couple of days, whoo! I don't know if you ever fasted for a couple of days. First couple of days are the most difficult. Yeah, 2 days, if you can not eat for 2 days. Shoo, you really feel it. So the hand was really feeling it. And the hand was thinking, why do I not feel good? Because I am getting the food. Yeah, I'm getting all these nice things. Why am I not feeling good? Actually, I'm feeling bad. I'm feeling weak. And then the hand started putting the food back in the mouth again. And then the hands, after a little while, the hand was feeling fine. You follow the point. Yeah, he's not doing it properly. And so it doesn't work. And not that after a while he thinks, this doesn't work, I'm going to stop eating altogether. This eating program is a waste of time. No. So this is what happens when people practice religion, but in a wrong way, or when people practice anything. People practice anything in the wrong way. Of course it doesn't work. What do you expect? So, yes. So there's a need for what we call in sort of, American jargon, a paradigm shift. You understand that? A shift in just like the basic ideas, the foundational ideas of what is our life. A paradigm shift. Let me tell you another little story, which was told to me by one of our devotees who passed away a few years ago. Really wonderful devotee, unfortunately, passed away. Sridhar Swami. He told me the story. There was some American warships sailing across the ocean, and with the big admiral there, he was the leader. And suddenly, on the radar, there's a bleep. So there's something, a blip. There's something in front of us. Must be another ship. So they radioed to the other ship that please move out of the way. We are the American fleet. Please move out of the way. They got a message back that you please move out of the way. And so the big chief, admiral, he got on the radio, listen, this is the American 7th Fleet. We are 10 ships with nuclear weapons. You move out of the way. And the message comes back, no thanks. Thanks, but no thanks. You move out of the way. And the admiral again, I am Admiral such and such. You move out of the way. And the message came back, I am Private Seaman. Means very low level, such and such. You move out of the way. I'm the admiral. If you don't move out of the way, I'm going to have you court-martialed. Message comes back. I am a lighthouse. You move out of the way. So this is called a paradigm shift. You've got to shift your basic ideas of reality. Because otherwise you're going to be in trouble. But this is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is very authentic. In fact, it is sort of like painstakingly authentic. It's very specifically authentic before anything else. Before just being like populist, or just, trying to somehow make it in such a way that people become attracted, like a marketing strategy. But Krishna consciousness, really, it's authentic. It's authentic. And therefore, Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is, not Bhagavad Gita as I think it is, or Bhagavad Gita as I would like it to be. Which means basically Bhagavad Gita as it isn't. But it's Bhagavad Gita as it is. And we find that when people apply it properly, then it doesn't matter who they are. It just doesn't matter what their background is, and what their position in life is, if they are, you know, especially intelligent, if they have many university degrees, if they're very wealthy, if they're very famous, etc., etc. All these things don't matter. They really don't matter. Because Krishna consciousness is stimulating who we really are. Who we really are. We're all eternal spirit souls. These bodies are just vehicles. And the nature of the soul is to be the eternal servant of Krishna. So Krishna consciousness is that process, but applied in very specific terms, very constructive, systematic terms, and as a result, it works. And so you get people like me, you know, obviously I'm not from a Hindu background, but, you know, here I am. I was in our temple here in Chatsworth a couple of years ago now. And one Tamil gentleman walked up to me, kind of elderly fellow, and we were chatting a bit. And I said, you know, you must come. You must get involved. Come regularly. Start chanting. Get involved. Apply it. And he said to me, no, no, no. He said, I don't know, I don't know. He said, you know, the thing is, this temple, our temple, it's a Hindi temple. And I'm Tamil. So, you know, it's not for me. And I said to him, listen, do I look Hindi to you? So, you know, it's truly, truly universal. Truly universal. Anyone can apply it. Children can apply it. And old people and everyone in between. Particularly intelligent people. Just normal people. People who are not particularly intelligent. You know, even sometimes animals become attracted. Oh, yes. We were some of our devotees were at a festival down by Ficksburg, I think. You know where Ficksburg is? Mm-hmm. Round on the other side of Lesotho. And it was like a sort of a youth hippie pop festival sort of thing. And our devotees, we had a little place on the side. We're having kirtan, distributing prasadam. Some young people were coming. It was very nice. And a dog came. And the devotees are sitting down, and the young people sitting down. There's maybe 50 people there, and the dog. And the devotees started some kirtan, some singing, chanting Hare Krishna. Everyone's sitting down singing. It built up a bit, everyone stood up. And everyone's moving in the kirtan and then dancing a bit. And the dog started dancing on his rear legs. Really. And the dog was chanting Hare Krishna in dog language. Really, he was inspired. He was inspired. And the kirtan finished, everyone sat down, the dog came over and lay down and put his head on the foot, one of the feet of the devotee who had been singing. Anyway, so at least the human beings, though, it's easy. It's very easy. So anyway, these are some thoughts for you. Take them home with you. And just, you know, you see what you want to do, what you can do. But try to do a little something extra for this, the rest of this month of Kartik, and in general, try to apply yourselves a little systematically and see what happens. And if you need any guidance, encouragement, and, you know, help along the way, the devotees are there. There's, you know, around Durban, there are thousands and thousands of devotees. Temple here, temple in Phoenix, and many programs, weekly programs going on all around. So, you know, the facility's there. Apply yourself and make a little effort, see what happens. And I'm sure you'll find, if you do make a little effort, that you get wonderful, amazing result beyond your expectations, even maybe beyond your hopes. Yeah, even beyond what you might hope for. Because Krishna consciousness, when applied properly, it works. It works in that one becomes free from the problems of life. One becomes free from anxieties, disturbances, and Krishna gives his mercy in many, many ways. Many ways to his devotees. So on that side you get freed from problems, and on the other side Krishna gives positive mercy. In many ways you become extremely happy, very happy, and unaffected by the ups and downs of this material world. It's quite revolutionary, and it's very wonderful. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Thank you all for listening very patiently. And now, we will... Actually, just while I'm at it, let me introduce one devotee to you. He caught me by surprise. He sneaked up on me. I didn't know he was coming. And here he is. You see here? This is Vijay Prabhu from the United States. There he is. And he is our, for ISKCON worldwide, he is the ISKCON book distribution Minister. In other words, he is overseeing book distribution throughout our entire movement on this planet. Yeah. In other words, you're in the company of a big man here. Yeah. Important person. It's a fact, actually. And he's visiting us here to give us some inspiration and input for our book distribution here. So, Hare Krishna. Okay, so now we'll offer the lamps to Damodar. And do you want to sing? Okay. So anyway, someone will sing. And there's a way of doing it You take the lamp will be lit. You take the lamp, you come in front of Damodar. We'll have a sort of a, like maybe a queue or anyway, one way or another, come in front of Damodar and just turn the lamp clockwise. Yeah, turn the lamp clockwise around Damodar. This is a system of offering. And then, where are we going to put the lamps? At the end? Okay. So we'll put a little table here and you can then put your lamp there when you've done that. And it's very nice. Hare Krishna. So everyone can stand up for the offering of lamps.